Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this morning is from our epistle lesson, Paul's letter to the Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body are one, so it is with Christ. This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. Before we begin, I just wanted to note it is said that every Sunday morning is a celebration of our Lord's resurrection, a kind of mini Easter when we gather together. And I don't know about you, but with all of the music this morning, it really has that wonderful Easter feeling. So thank you to all of our musicians. Last night, as Pastor Jennings mentioned, the sanctuary was packed. And we had children all over the chancel steps and in the first several pews. And so we talked a little bit about this theme of community night. And it began with a question to the children: what sorts of jobs out there are messy? And we had quite a number of interesting responses. Everything from, you know, the things that a child sees right close up. One little boy said picking up his Legos was a messy job. One young lady suggested that a hair salon, that's a messy job. Hair just gets everywhere. Another suggested being a pig farmer. Asked if she'd ever been a pig farmer. She had not, but she knew enough that it was messy. And we asked about important jobs. What sorts of jobs are important? And it had the same kind of range of response. One child said, cleaning up your room. That's important. Yes, it is. Others, as you might imagine, suggested law enforcement, armed services. One young man suggested being the president was important. And it does seem, I've asked this question before, and bless their hearts, one child said spreading the word of God. We talked then about whether or not there were jobs in our community that are not important. And came to the sort of quick conclusion that every job in every facet of the community serves a role and it has a place. And if you do have a chance to see the projects in the gym, you will see many of those important jobs highlighted from around our community. Paul's message to the Corinthians picks up on that same idea. He doesn't use different jobs, but he addresses parts of the body. And he begins making it clear that this truth of one body applies to everyone. Instead of different jobs, Paul uses different aspects of cultural identity. He says that this unity applies to Jews and Greeks, slaves or free. And it is his way of conveying in the ancient world, especially to a Jewish audience, that it doesn't apply just to those people who had been considered the chosen of God. The Israelites were that covenant people, divinely set aside for God's purpose until the coming of Christ. But now, Paul was challenging people to see beyond themselves, to look at those they might consider foreigners, or those who might consider them to be foreigners, and to see that there is a desired unity of that body. An equally radical assertion for Paul in the ancient world was to suggest that it applied both to those who were free and to those enslaved. Never would those populations normally come together and see themselves as one, but that too was a part of the encouragement. In our culture, we might perhaps recognize that in economic terms, that wherever one falls on the spectrum of wealth, whether destitute or truly wealthy, that there is a call in God's word for us to recognize a unity. It's Paul's way of saying, I'm talking about you and all the people around you and all that are beyond. And with that established, Paul addresses two very different points of view in the way in which we see ourselves and see those around us. He first addresses those who may feel as if they are on the outside and don't belong. Let's call those people the self-conscious. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body, Paul writes. If you feel at times, even today, like an outsider in the kingdom of God, these words are for you. If you feel like your place in society, your background doesn't seem very important, these words are for you. If you feel like your life has not measured up to what you wanted it to be, let alone what you might believe God expected it to be, these words are for you. If the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong," does that make it any less a part of the body? Paul goes on to ask, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Well, on its face, it's an almost funny image, but our Lord, through Paul's words, is entirely serious. That whatever part you play in this community, in your families, you matter. You matter to God and to all of us. You are a part of the body, and we need you. And then Paul turns his focus to another point of view, the self-centered view, we'll call it. And in response to the self-centered view, we hear, the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." And these words are for any one of us when we look around ourselves, whether nearby in our community or much further away, and we see someone else or some other group of people and we point a kind of condemning finger at them and we say, "You aren't important. You don't belong because you're outsiders. And to us, you really don't matter." Then we need to hear the word of God declare to us that they matter. They matter to God. They are intended to be a part of the body. Remember our Lord's admonition to pray even for those who persecute you. And so if we see ourselves as this one body, as God intended, then we will live out our lives in the spirit of verse 26. And if you look on your in the service folder, verse 26, we read, "If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one is honored, all rejoice together." Whether we know one another personally or not. If you were with us a couple weeks ago, you may recall that I shared with you the plight of Iranian pastor Saeed Abedini. He was at that time and had been since 2012 held prisoner in Iran because of his Christian faith. And if you've watched the news in recent weeks, you will know that Pastor Abedini has been reunited with his family. That he is one of the four or five that are part of some complicated political deal making. I don't know all the ins and outs of that deal. But I know that as a body of Christ, people all over the world have been praying for Pastor Abedini. And today he is reunited with his family, and so the body of Christ all over the world rejoices. Praise God for that deliverance. Here at Trinity, we celebrate in our school every baptism every year. of all of our children, all of our staff, because every time the grace of God washes over a little girl or boy, a woman or man, we celebrate how God declares that that one life is so very important. And I've been really encouraged in recent weeks to the response that we have begun to receive to those surveys inviting members of Trinity to participate in our community meals ministry that we're just now joining. Because it says to me that there are numerous people here in our congregation who want to look out beyond ourselves and into our city and see those people who have greater needs perhaps than we, and say to them by our actions, you matter. The director of that ministry said that they don't ask any questions of anyone who shows up for a Sunday meal. What their background is, or their religion, where they come from, whether they have any money. If someone shows up for a meal, they will be fed, whoever they are, because they matter. They matter to God, and they matter to us. But there is more in God's word for us than just an encouragement that we all respect one another and get along. Recall when one of the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" And remember that Jesus' initial response wasn't something like, "Well, just be nice to each other and take care of one another," important as that is. No, the first and greatest commandment is this, that you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The first commandment of your life and mine is to live in such a way that every fiber of your being reflects that God matters most to you. God calls us to live a life that is absolutely saturated in His grace, His love, His forgiveness, and His will. It is a question for one's own heart that I encourage you to reflect on this morning. Does my life reflect a love for God that matters most? God doesn't call us into a loving relationship with Him because He needs our admiration somehow. He doesn't. No, it is because God knows that we need our heart, mind, soul, and strength to be focused on Him so that we might live the lives that He intended us to live. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." If you are focused on God, then you recognize the enormity, the extraordinary measure of His love poured out for you. A love so extraordinary that Jesus would come into this world, walk among us, and then take from us every act of self-centeredness that we have done, every way in which we have strayed away from Him, made ourselves our own focus, that He would take all of that burden and carry it upon Himself all the way to the cross and open for us a way of everlasting life. Jesus did for our self-centeredness the most selfless, loving act ever displayed on earth. It is why we read in the scriptures, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You need first to recognize and believe how much you matter to God. Whoever you are, whatever role you play, whatever your story, whatever you've done, you are a part of the body. You matter. And as we embrace this first commandment of God, The second flows naturally out of our lives. Jesus called us to love our neighbors as ourselves. If I recognize how much I matter to God in spite of all that I've done, all the secrets I would never share in public, how then could I or how could you ever look at another human being and say or even think, you don't matter? In faith in Jesus Christ, whoever you are invited to be a part of this body, an integral, irreplaceable part. Now, does that promise offer us license then to do whatever we desire? Well, surely not, because we recall again that first commandment to love the Lord our God with all that we are, to follow His will in our lives, to recognize that His design for life is far grander than anything we could develop on our own. So we follow His will as expressed in His word. We rejoice over the many and various parts that make up this one body that we share in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds united in the body of Christ, now and always. Amen.